How good it is to sing together. Let's continue in worship. We're going to take a break from the Gospel of Mark, which we've been in for the past couple of months, and read a passage from the Gospel of Luke, when the angel comes and speaks to Mary. Luke chapter 6, let's stand and read this together. Luke chapter 6. Excuse me, chapter 1 and verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month of her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we love to come together and sing your praise. We thank you that you make it clear you inhabit the praises of your people. And Lord, we want to inhabit your word and have your word in us. We want to abide with you and walk with you. We pray you'd give us understanding. Could see you more clearly, that we could walk after you, Lord Jesus. Revive us by your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. You and I are constantly bombarded with messages. All the time. I've got on my phone here over 29,000 emails asking for my attention. That's a lot. Now, only a couple dozen of those are important. Thankfully, it categorizes the rest of them as promotions or social media or spam. But we are constantly bombarded with messages. And a lot of it we could just call noise, asking for our attention. You like to get on YouTube, right? You know, 500 hours of video are uploaded every single minute on YouTube. Every minute. 500 hours. So many people want to share information, want to share videos with us. We are bombarded. Lots of people want our attention. Lots of people want to sell us stuff. And then I've got my to-do list. It's screaming at me all the time. I'm one of those personalities, I have two or three to-do lists, right? I have my important one, and then I have my other to-do lists. Ed, they're always there talking to me. We can get burned out with all of these messages, all of this noise. And in the midst of all this, in the midst of all of these people talking to us, How do we actually hear God speak? How do we hear God in the midst of all this noise? That's what I want to consider looking at this passage. When the angel Gabriel comes to Mary here, it has been several hundred years of silence. We just call it the silence era of the Bible. Remember, God brought his people out of Egypt. Joshua led them into the promised land. And then we had a period of judges. We looked at that this past year. We had a period of the kings, like under King David and King Solomon. And then a couple hundred years later, God exiled his people. He kicked them out of the land into Babylon. And then 70 years later, he brought them back under Ezra and Nehemiah. And then there's a period of silence, a few hundred years of darkness when God simply wasn't speaking to the people. The last prophet he sent to them was Malachi, last guy in the Old Testament. Last thing Malachi said is, I'm going to send Elijah, the Spirit of the Lord, before that great and terrible day of the Lord. And the people have been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And then one day, God shows up and he speaks to Mary after all of this silence. So I just want to look at this and ask, how does God speak? I want to be listening. How does God speak to us? We want to hear him. And the first thing I want to observe is that God speaks softly. There wasn't a bunch of fanfare around him. There weren't a bunch of lights and whistles. There wasn't a foghorn. He came very gently, softly, speaking to Mary. Mary was probably about 13 years old. Any 13-year-olds in here? Yeah, it'd be like talking to Melinda or to John. After all this, that's an eighth grader, right? God shows up, and he speaks so gently and softly, has a conversation with Mary. Now, there are times that God has spoken, you know, with lightning and thunder. That was at Mount Sinai, when he had an entire nation down at the foot of the mountain, and he basically needed to get their attention. And they were terrified. They told Moses, you go talk to him. We don't want to go near. It's too scary. But when he speaks to individuals, it's gentle. It's soft. When he spoke to Moses through the burning bush, you could just have a conversation with Moses, even though Moses was a timid man. When he talked to Moses in the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies, there's the Ark of the Covenant, and above that's the mercy seat. It said God just spoke to him from the space above the mercy seat. That's where God's voice would come. You remember when the prophet Elijah heard God speak? Elijah said there was a great windstorm. You get the idea, it's like a tornado. Said, God wasn't in the windstorm. There was a fire. God wasn't in the fire. There was an earthquake. Said, God wasn't in the earthquake. And then he said there was a gentle breeze. And God spoke to him. God speaks softly and gently. He wants to get the attention of people who are wounded, who are, you know, he wants the outcast of society. He wants the poor. He wants them to be able to draw close. So he's very gentle. He's very soft. The powerful, the ones with great authority, the ones that spoke with you know, commanding respect, they couldn't hear Jesus. They could only hear people that, you know, backed up their authority with swords and such. But the people who were the common people, they could hear Jesus speak. They could understand him. Who was the very first evangelist that Jesus sent out? We had John the Baptist come and introduce Jesus. Jesus had his 12 disciples. Who was the very first person that Jesus used to proclaim the good news of his arrival so that other people believed in him because of this person's message? Who was that? Pardon? The Samaritan woman. The shepherds, okay, they proclaim his birth, right? Okay, people believe that. Thank you, Judy. I hadn't thought of that. I was thinking of the Samaritan woman. This uneducated, sinful Samaritan woman. The Jews despised Samaria. He used her to go and tell her village, and many people believed, and they came and talked to Jesus, and now we believe, not just because of what she said, but we've seen you. Jesus speaks quietly. So we need times when we are listening quietly. We need times. There's a guy named John Ruskin. There is no music during a musical rest, but the rest is part of making the music. We need times of pause. We just listen quietly. A lot of people, including the disciples for a while, were expecting the Messiah to be this powerful, invincible warrior. Jesus was powerful, and he was invincible. He rose from the dead. He was gentle and lowly and meek. So it's shocking to people that God would do this. They wanted someone powerful and commanding. I mean, if I wrote the story, I would have Jesus born in Rome or maybe in Jerusalem, right? Nazareth. Nazareth was like the most despised place in Israel. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? He goes to Nazareth, finds a teenage girl, uneducated, and speaks to her softly, gently. So, how do you and I get that connection? We need to make time. I got to get my Wi-Fi connection. I need the hotspot. How do we do that? But we really do need to find a solitary place. Like Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, go in your closet and close the door. What does that mean for you and I? We really do have to put our phones away. For a while, I had this great discipline. I would not look at my phone until I'd spent time praying and in God's Word. It's a great idea. I'll have to admit, I don't do that all the time. It's because as soon as I pick up my phone, I got to reply, right? You know what I'm talking about? Oh, I got to do this, I got to do that. And it's nonstop from there. We got to get a solitary place. I don't want to give God the leftovers. I want to give him the first fruits. For me, that I'm a morning person, that means the early morning. Maybe for you it's at night. We have to find a solitary place. Jesus went to this despised village, to this girl. She didn't have a lot of noise around her. She could hear him speak. We need a time in my schedule and a solitary place. Maybe you don't take your phone, but I'll take a pen and paper with me. And if I'm spending time in the Bible, if I'm praying, okay, something might come into my head. I might just stop and write something down. I'll deal with that later, right? Melissa and I will still do that when we're talking to each other, right? Melissa and I will be talking to each other, and I'll write something down, and then we'll keep talking. Write something down. I'm just saying, we want to find a solitary place, a quiet time, and we get away. Because God speaks softly. He speaks gently. He doesn't come with a lot of noise because he wants to meet us in the place of our hearts that's a bit lonely, that's a bit quiet. He wants to meet us there where we have fears, where we have struggles with sin, where we worries. The part of our heart that's very private. Part of your heart that there's some shameful things in there. I don't want other people to know. Jesus wants to meet us there and bring us his comfort, bring us his grace. I didn't come to condemn the world. I don't want to judge you there. I want to bring joy and peace and forgiveness. I want you to walk in the light. He speaks softly and gently because he wants to come to that part of our hearts. Second thing I want to observe here, God speaks. He speaks softly. He speaks very respectfully. He's talking to a teenage girl, relatively uneducated, and he speaks to her as a girl who can think for herself. And she understands what he says, and she asks a very intelligent question. If I'm going to give birth to the Messiah, how is this going to happen? I'm a virgin. It's a good question. And God answers her. She says, okay, she understands what he's saying. And she can rise to the occasion with great faith. God spoke to Moses intelligently. He spoke to the Israelites. He would say, come, sit down. Let us reason together. And he says, you and I have been created in the image of God. And he wants us to inhabit that. He wants us to be wise. He wants us to be intelligent. And he doesn't patronize us. He speaks to us as people who can listen and think for ourselves and respond and ask intelligent questions. He speaks respectfully. We have to admit that sometimes I don't really necessarily want intelligent words. We have a tendency to kind of like nonsense. I'll tell you what I'm talking about. We especially hear it in the songs that we sing, in our music, all the time. We have this messages coming into our head that are pretty nonsensical, and we like it. I'll give you an example. I Googled nonsensical pop songs, and I just read through a list on BuzzFeed. There was one by Selena Gomez. Do you all like Selena Gomez? Maybe? Jeremiah, do you like Selena Gomez? No? She had this song called Chain Reaction. I'm slipping down a chain reaction. I've become yours in fractions. There's a storm. There's a lot of lies. There's people bleeding light. Here's what BuzzFeed, it's a review. It's an online review. How do you slip down a chain reaction? Does that cause you to be fractioned? Selena Gomez sounds so confident singing all of this that I want to believe that it adds up to something coherent. But it doesn't. We're singing nonsense. I Googled, how did they write this song? And there's two writers of the song. One of them was on an airplane. He got this tune in his head, and he gave it to his friend, and he said, finish this song. He had one line. And the guy said, he gave me one line, I want you to know. And the rest of it was a bunch of mumbling. So he wrote the rest of the song, and it doesn't make any sense. We never found out what anyone wanted us to know, but it became number one in a dozen countries. People singing. I'll give you another example. What? Y'all know the Beatles, right? Pardon? Very old. The Beatles. Probably the number one rock band, I don't know, of all time. They have songs like We All Live in a Yellow Submarine, I Am the Walrus, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. They're deliberate nonsense. They're mostly celebrations of the psychedelic drug LSD, Lucy, Sky, Diamonds, LSD. We're singing nonsense. They made a lot of money selling nonsense. I just want to be foolish. I just want to sing nonsense, right? In the 90s, I'm going to give you one more example because it is so common, and we want to think, right? Think, what are these words that are going into my heart and making me sing. There was a song in the 90s by the band R.E.M., To the One I Love. Oh, this must be a love song. Do y'all remember the song, anybody? This song goes out to the one I love. It became number one for weeks. If back then we didn't have podcasts, we only had the radio or cassette tapes. So you'd listen to the radio all the time, and I mean a dozen times a day. You'd call into the radio, oh, I'd like to dedicate a song to my girlfriend, to my boyfriend, oh, to the one I love. You're like, not again, right? Here it is. Here's why I'm telling you this. It was not a love song. It was the complete opposite of a love song. Rolling Stone, the people made a lot of money. Rolling Stone asked the writer of the song, what do you think of this? People think your song is a love song. He said, it's very clear that it's about using people over and over again. Well, it wasn't clear. People thought it was a love. It's a brutal kind of song. This is the writer of the song. And I don't know if a lot of people pick up on that. But I've always left myself pretty open to interpretation. He's making a lot of money. He doesn't want to rock the boat. It's probably better that they just think it's a love song. I don't know. It's a very violent and awful song. It's terrible if you listen to it. It's mean. But what happened? What happened? Title of the song, To the One I Love. The first line is, this song goes out to the one I love. And what happens? Oh, I start thinking about Melissa. And I'm singing. And I don't listen to the rest of the words. I'm actually singing them without thinking what I am singing. It's brutal. It's a violent. It's a terrible. It's a hateful song, and I'm singing it thinking, we have this tendency. And I'm telling you, God comes to us. He expects us to think, to pay attention. Listen carefully. What are these words going into your heart? He spoke to Mary very respectfully. He spoke to Moses respectfully. Wanted him to rise to the occasion. And we want to pay attention. What does it mean if we assume that someone, we know what someone is going to say? What does that mean? I know what he's going to say. What does that mean? Oh, if I ask God this question, I know what the answer is going to be. You know, in Sunday school, I have all these pat answers. Y'all go to Sunday school and the answers are all like canned answers. I know what the answer is. And I think if I go and pray to God, I know what the answer is going to be. I don't need to ask. That means I'm not listening. God wants us to listen. He may say something very surprising. He often told the Israelites things that were counterintuitive to them. What? For example, when they were being invaded by the Babylonians were threatening them. They had all these prophets that were saying, no, resist the heathen. God will save you. Stand strong. And then you had the prophet Jeremiah saying, no, these guys are lying to you. Think about what God has been telling you for the past 200 years. Think. Surrender. Jeremiah said, surrender, bend your neck to the king of Babylon and live. No, that's not something God would say. That's what God said. Ask. You know, ask him about the songs you listen to, the entertainment you watch. Listen. When God sent Isaiah, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ears are uncircumcised. They cannot listen. The word of the Lord to them is an object of scorn. He told Isaiah. Isaiah is the guy We sang his words earlier. A son shall be born to you. His name shall be called Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His kingdom shall never end. When Isaiah was speaking to the people, all they heard were shoulds and oughts. He said, you're speaking to us like children. Here, there, do this, do that. That's all they heard. It's not what God was saying. They weren't listening. He speaks gently. He speaks softly. He speaks respectfully. We have to recognize that in our hearts, we sometimes don't want that kind of message, don't want that kind of respect. We want to keep Jesus cute, lying in a manger, no crying he makes. We want to leave him there. Okay, third thing. God speaks softly, gently. He wants to speak to that part of our hearts where I need gentleness. I need softness because I'm scared. I'm alone. I'm ashamed. That's where he wants to come. He speaks respectfully. Let's reason together. Let's talk. I've created you in the image of God. You can rise to the occasion. You can be an adult, right? Third thing, he calls us to be strong and courageous. God always calls his people to be strong and courageous, to be bold. What he told Mary here was going to be very challenging. Who's going to believe her? No. Yes, is that Nathan? I thought you were raising your hand to ask a question. Who's going to believe this young girl? No. I didn't have premarital sex. I didn't. No, God did this. They're going to look at her. Even 30 years later, the religious leaders were mocking Jesus, saying to him, we weren't born of fornication. We don't believe you. What the angel was telling Mary was going to be challenging, right? It was going to require faith and courage and stamina and endurance on her part for the rest of her life. This is something God did. They are going to look on her with contempt, with shame. God's going to have to speak to her own husband. God's going to have to send an angel to Joseph so that Joseph will believe her. When God speaks to us because of the world we live in, because of the world that loves nonsense, the world that rebels against God, the world that looks at the Bible and all it hears is a bunch of shoulds and oughts. It doesn't hear grace. It doesn't hear love. It doesn't hear mercy. Just shoulds and oughts. That's all it hears. And in that kind of world, we have to be strong and courageous when we proclaim his salvation. Mary says, let it be to me as the Lord, according to your word. Let it be according to your word. God told Abraham, go, pick up your family, everything you have, go to this foreign land. That was going to take great courage on his part. He told Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh with your shepherd's staff as your only weapon. Go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go and have a worship festival in the wilderness. He told the Israelites, take the land, pick up your swords and fight and take the land. Like, they're giants. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. He says, go. God said through the prophets, if he shrinks back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Again, it's a sign of respect that God wants us to be courageous, to have guts, to take steps of faith that he will provide. He will make it possible. He wants us to be strong and courageous. Deborah, right? Deborah was going to go with the general. Suddenly I forgot his name. Deborah and See, we forgot his name. We just know Deborah because she was courageous. She said, God's going to give his army into the hands of a woman, right? Esther had to be very strong and courageous. I want you all to fast and pray for 3 days because there's a very good chance when I go before the king, he will kill me on the spot. So they went and prayed. God speaks softly, gently, respectfully, and he calls us to be bold and courageous. We've got to trust somebody. He wants us to trust him. Who are we trusting? Trusting our politicians? Trusting our professors? Trusting teachers? Are we just trusting the crowds? Are we following the crowds? The crowds are wise. By trusting myself, I can make the best decision. I know what's good, what's right. God calls us, you trust me, you take me at my word. He calls us to be strong and courageous. He is a mighty king. He can provide. I have one more. Y'all have heard this before, but it's such a good example. Do y'all know who this guy is? Joshua Bell. One of the number one violinists. People pay several hundred dollars per ticket to go and listen to him play the violin. So they just tried an experiment. They put him in a subway station there. He's next to a trash can. He puts out his case to make money. It's too noisy. People just walk by. This one woman is, this guy's pretty good. She's getting a front row seat that would usually cost nearly $1,000 to be that close, getting a solo presentation from Joshua Bell. Everybody else walked by. We don't want to do that. Consider that God wants to speak to us. We find a quiet place. We find a solitary place. We carve out time in my schedule. I'm going to put my iPad, my cell phone away. I'm going to get on my knees. A lot of times, I have to pray out loud in order to force myself to stay on track. And then just be quiet and listen and ask God to speak. Let me pray for us now. Father in heaven, we thank you that you've given us your word, and we thank you that you've given us your spirit. And we thank you that you've actually called us. You've taught us to pray. You've given us the book of Psalms, that you want us to come before you. Lord, may we be a wise people who rise to the occasion, who say thank you for your gentleness. Thank you for your respect. Thank you for calling us to be bold and courageous and faithful, to go and fight the good fight. Lord, may we be a people who listen, who turn our ears to heaven, Lord, in the midst of so much noise, in the midst of many good messages too. Lord, we want to be wise to hear you speak. Give us strength to do that, and joy, Lord, in sharing the good news with others. Joy in helping others to hear you. Turn our ears to heaven. We pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.